Morning, church. I believe you guys can see that winter is receding. It's going away. We don't have to worry about those chilly mornings anymore. This is loud. Jeez. But nonetheless, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about being equipped for battle. Susie has spoken about our adversary, the enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, the muhu, and his tactics that he has against us. It's always the same old tactics, but we tend to fall for these tactics quite often. Same as Basian, week before last, spoke about the belt of truth. You know, it's quite interesting to note of the belt of truth, other than the truth, is on the Roman soldiers, those little tassels. Don't seem like a lot an individual, but if you have a whole platoon or a whole army, it starts making a noise. It's very intimidating to the enemies if you hear them from afar, this drumming coming through. And that was also very interesting to note. I mean, similarly with Mill talking about the breastplate of righteousness and what it is about righteousness, what it means to be a righteous man and woman of God. That taken in consideration, I want to talk on the next piece of the armor of God. But before we do the next piece of the armor of God, I'm going to show you a little clip, and we're going to, it might not seem relevant, but it is. There's a couple of things I'm going to take out of that clip, and then we're going to discuss a little bit. So if you guys are ready down there, it might come through, it might not.
Load the catapults. Infantry form up for advance.
Archers ready.
Archers! Knock, knock!
Atlas! 3 weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops.
Imagine where you will be. And it will be so. Hold the line! Stay with me! If you find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face, do not be troubled. For you are in Elysium, and you're already dead! Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
Come on, training, go!
I know I was stopping there before we should, but it's good because some of the scenes after that gets a bit upsetting and they get a bit graphic. But if you don't know that intro scene, it's from a movie called The Gladiator. It is an excellent intro scene, especially if you have surround sound. It sounds so cool to hear the arrows and everything coming past. But this is what we're going to talk about. Not about the actual warring, but some of the disciplines shown of that Roman army we're going to talk about. It's the next step in the armor of God. I don't know if you can guess what I'm going to talk about, except for those that do know. Come on, it says it on the board. Gospel of peace. Our main scripture is Ephesians 6, verse 15. Now let's read it. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Note that the first is not the focus of that scripture. The gospel of feet, it undergirds that shoes for your feet and the readiness. It's the gospel of peace that we're going to talk about today. But you might be thinking, David nuts. What is that picture of a war got to do with peace? You know, it's so contradictory. Oaks killing each other and la-di-da on the one side. You know, if you take the word peace in mind, and we're going to break it down a little bit later, what does it have to do with it? But quite easily, it's got actually quite a lot to do with it. The gospel of peace, as you might have come to understand by what Millen has preached over the past couple of weeks, it's got a lot to do with battle, war, where we find ourselves. You have, if you want peace, there is some kind of sacrifice. There's a battle that goes on. If we relate it to an army, a modern-day army, today it's quite lucky, click, click, boom, you know, they can do that. But if we relate it for a couple of years back, what was the one thing that was always significant about an army? Close quarter battles, similar to this, with rifles and so on. But the exception is here that those that live a life of being rustig, peaceful in the cities, in the towns, they were the guys that were protected by the army on the outskirts or the borders. Someone had to make a sacrifice to protect our peace. And they still go on. Different countries have different ways of doing it. But that's what we are going to talk into, is that how do we get the peace, you know, and what is this readiness that I'm talking about? What has that got to do with anything? So we're going to talk a bit in depth about those two subjects. The shoes for your feet, having put in the readiness and that undergirded or underscored by the gospel of peace. So let's climb into that. You might notice that shoes there. Take a moment and look at it carefully, because we're going to talk about that, one part of it. But we want to see first, as we've related, even Bastian has picked that up, that on the armor of God, the reference to it in the days gone by was a Roman soldier. There's a typical Roman soldier in its attire, helmet, breastplate, shield, the different weapons, a spear, sword, the belt to undergird them, and obviously their shoes. Their shoes look similar to that, but a little bit more accurately, we're going to have a look at what that shoe actually means. So readiness, first part that I said what I'm going to talk about. Those shoes that we see, there's different type of shoes, and they're Latin names. The first one, your normal wear, going outside kind of shoes, called, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, but a calque. And you can take it whichever way. And excuse me for my sniffles. The jojo is still hanging around with me. But that's your outside type of shoes. There's three type of shoes. A slipper or a sandal called a salaya, which men and women wore inside of their houses, not going outside, just a casual one, but the one that we want to focus on. They all were basically the same, leathers that they used to make them. is a Roman leather boot for the Roman soldiers called a caliga. It was half boot and half sandal. And it looked similar to that. Nice, well, today it would not make any fashion sense, but for a Roman soldier that meant a lot. The uppers were made of leather, and they were cut, as you can see, cut on the sides and then wrapped on with a little leather band, and that was pulled to form around that soldier's feet. So irrespective of what foot you size, you're 13, 9, broad, narrow, it was created to fit snug over that Roman soldier's feet. Why? Why would it be created like that? Well, easy, so that they can have a sure footing. They can grip into the sand or the mud. And what helped them to grip in that sand is in the bottom. So the bottoms of that shoe, the soles, as you can see, they were studded. There was two types of studs that they used. One is just a plain rounded stud, like we see there. That guy's a little bit worn. And the other was a little spark stud. Again, it was there to help them stabilize themselves, there to catch grip, more importantly, to advance as well, without slipping. So why would they have this shoe fashioned in such a way? Very easy. You lose your grip on the battlefield. And because it was hand-to-hand, close-quarter battles, you were a dead man. It is very difficult, as we saw a little bit, and if you know the movie, you'd see the real practical application there. If a person dropped down on the ground, already you're at a disadvantage because he has a big burly bloke with a heck of a axe or a sword thrusting that down towards you. The chances are that you're going to stop it is very slim. You do get it, but you are at a disadvantage at that moment in time. That is why you have that shoe there. You need to keep your grip. Another thing that we saw in this movie is that the captain and this, or the commander, was always shouting, hold the line, hold the line. Again, similar to your shoe, why would you hold the line? If you have a break in that line, you become weak. You are divided. Something that the enemy, Satan, likes to do is bring division into our ranks. Let me give you a demonstration. Ostriaks. Wim. Another Wim. Come up here quickly. And can you come up here? Sir. Brilliant. Hook into each other. Just stand next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, and just hook into us. We're not going to scrum. I want to demo your axe. What is our... So that's y'all hooking to each other. There's our wall of defense. Lack of sturdy. If I do this, I'm getting nowhere. The oaks are solid. If I go and take out Harad, there's a hole in my defense. So if I do this, it's a bit more wobbly. Thanks, guys. That's the demo. We need to, if we have a hole in the defense, we become weaker. We become more susceptible to the attack of the enemy. Another modern day analogy, who hikes? Take your casual hike every now and then, maybe enjoy the mountains, that kind of stuff. As a hiker, well, you've done the Drakensberg, so you've hiked. You need to have the right equipment to go and do what we call a multi-day hike. So you go out for 5 days into the mountains. It's not a humming naval thing, as you actually walk quite a lot. If you go and do a hike in the mountains with a pair of sandals, or flip-flops as we know it today, I can guarantee you by the end of the day, you're going to be crying to your mommy because you're going to have blisters the size of your hand and there's probably cuts where you don't want them in between your toes and that kind of stuff because there's no protection. A boot looks similar to that in the bottom. All these little funny knobblies you can see there. But they are made, again, like the Roman soldier's boot. Has things to grip on slippery surfaces, gives you a sure footing. But over and above that, where the Roman soldiers also had it in that time, they had a little bit of an extension over your ankles, where they had a bit of protection around. If you look at a hiker, if you go and hike, you don't go and hike just with nothing on you. You've got a backpack, you need food, you need clothes, you need all kinds of water. So that backpack, anything from 10 to 15 kgs on your back, that's light. Oh, great. Take in consideration, every kilogram on your back is 3 kilograms on your knees and your ankles. You see where I'm going with this? If you have a 20k sack or backpack, at 60 kgs on your ankles and your knees. If by any chance you walk or stand wrong on a piece of rock or a hole that you fall into or a little, you stumble, 60 kgs on your ankles, you're going to know about it. Breakage, sprain, and then your ticket. For the guys that do solo hikes, if that happens and they don't have anything with them, the inevitable happens. You die. Our ankles, we need the right protection for us to go further in life. In our walk with Christ, we need to be very wary of how we are footed, how we stand. Are we standing our ground? Are we sure-footed so that we can advance into what God has called us to do? And I didn't even go further. Oh, no, I did. So what are these shoes for? Sorry, I got two notes here. Otherwise, I get so demoralized. And sometimes I forget about the presentation. The shoes are for, one, standing our ground. I mentioned it in 2 Timothy 2:15, and I'll get to that now. But just write that down so long. And moving forward, advancing. Matthew 28:19-20 talks about making disciples of the nations. This war that we are in, and believe you me, irrespective of who you are part and parcel of that battle or that war. I am, so are you. If once you become a Christian, there's this invisible big bullseye painted on your back. We always joke about it as Christians, but it's the truth. You become target number one for the enemy. Why? Because you carry the authority of God in your life. You carry the Holy Spirit, which he quivers with fear when he knows that quacha has got something I don't want to meet. Because the authority of God is overriding above all. But you still get that target. And that target is formidable at times because it brings in all kinds of little challenges. But again, I'm going far ahead of myself. We stand our ground in 2 Timothy 2:15, where we show ourselves as one that is approved by God or unto God. Why am I saying this? What has it got to do with standing our ground? Easy. We are called in a spiritual battle. So what do we do? How do we prepare? We need to read the Word of God. We need to be in His presence. We need to show ourselves approved of God so that we can take that authority and overcome our challenges. Moving forward, as I said, we're not here to be static. Come to church every Sunday morning, enjoy the sermon, go back home, have a lekker meal, sleep, go to work. That's a boring life. I don't know about you, but that will bore to put it as my nasal passages feel now, snotty and boring and just dire. Okay, my conscience down below has told me to move on. But nonetheless, we're not called to stay in one place. We've actually got a command from the commander in that scripture. Go out and make disciples of nations. The nations doesn't mean I'm going to go to the furthest tribe in whatever whacked out country. Nations start, in my church, in my family, in my town. Then we go out to different nations that God has corporately called us to. Not, we are corporately called, for instance, to go to Lesotho and minister there and build relationship there, and you feel you want to go to Brazil. No. You support what is corporately called. That is team building. That is being part of the team. That's being holding the line. You step out of that, you're causing a gap in our defense. You know, so we corporately support that. Excuse me. What does what we talk about readiness mean? Now, other than the real interpretation of the word readiness, what does it mean in this context? It equates to vigilance. We need to be vigilant, ready. We need to be aware of the enemy's schemes in our lives. Like Susie spoke a while back, different methods that the enemy attack us. And the one thing that he always brings in is fear. You know that fear is the absence of faith, and vice versa. Faith is the absence of fear. One thing we need to overcome is our fears, irrespective of what it is in life. If it is, I cannot go out because I'm a bit fat and plumpish like me. I can't do exercise. The oats will laugh at me, you know. Or I can't stand and do something publicly because I get nervous. Hello? I am nervous. Anyone would be. But we ask God to enable us to overcome our fears. We are in this war. The war is not kind. You look a bit further and a little couple of scenes that we saw, people lose lives in some gruesome ways. We are here to overcome that enemy. We're there to move ahead. Be vigilant of the enemy's schemes, as I mentioned. 1 Peter 5:7-8 puts it very good. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, but be sober-minded and watchful. So vigilant, sober-minded, watchful are those key important things that come through. If I can relate it back to the movie or the clip that we saw, you guys saw the platoons that were formed, the little square platoons. Those guys need to be reasonably vigilant and aware of what's going on around them. Because if an enemy, in this case the Germanians, shoot their arrows and they just walk forward, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get plugged full of holes. Arrows are going to be in them and they're going to die. But as we saw there, what the guys did, as they were aware the guys were shooting, what did they do? Closed ranks, put up the shields front and back and the top, and what did the arrows do? Deadly squat. They were protected. They were aware of their surroundings, and they were protected by those fiery arrows. Again, if we talk about holding the line, if one of those blokes forgot their shield or forgot to lift it, guess what would happen? Someone would get injured and the division would stop. In terms of, it becomes easier. In war, creating division is the best tactic to go for. You break people in small groups and they get taken out much easier. But how do we have a sure footing in our faith? And we're talking now, well, carrying on, sorry, from the readiness, is that we need to be ready and prepared. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be prepared. But, and then 2 Timothy 4:2, sorry, I'm going to reference these two quite a bit. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, what does it mean, being ready and prepared? It's just to have, be present, basically. Be prepared in terms of what we read, the previous scripture being approved by God, reading our Bible, knowing the Word of God, spending time in His presence. Being there when someone asks something of you to, you know, share a word, or whatever it is being that prepared. Spending the time praying, spending time with God, reading the Word of God, as I just mentioned, and supporting church-related meetings, events, outreaches. If we hold the line together, we go so much more further than just this guy does this guy does that, this guy. Then you are, again, we come to a division, which is not very helpful. Being available. Now, that availability means, I'm not saying 24/7 and you don't sleep and a bro or a sister comes and phones you and needs some help. Just being there. Because you've spent time with Christ in praying, the Word of God, or being available, building yourself up. The next logical thing is that people are going to have needs. Everyone has needs. And then the phone call, hey, David, please pray for me. I'm battling with something. That's the available. Having an ear to listen. And believe me, blokes, all the bearded men and the non-bearded men and the burly and the not-so-burly, we all have feelings. And at times, the world rests on your shoulders more than most. And that's when you need a boot. I'm saying a boot because that is what we are. We are brothers. Same with our sisters, our ladies. You are not impervious to all kinds of challenges. None of us are. But we know one thing. I can tell you about this church. I can phone my boots. My wife can phone her sisters and tell her, listen, I've got a rough time. Can you just, you know, lift me up and pray? Or can I have a cup of coffee with you? Because I just need to chat about something. It's not unmanly to sit and, you know, talk about your issues. Because if you don't, there's dire consequences to it. Very dire. Because it builds up and eventually you lose people. And we don't want to be there. I want to be there if I know my butcher's going through some stuff and I could have helped him by just listening. We are there and we are available, ready to chat, ready to uplift, ready to hold the line and walk with our boots and our sisters. Be kind. What does David mean by be kind? Oh my goodness, really? Eh? Be kind. Men are normally seen as harsh, but we aren't. 1 Peter 3:15, let's just read the scripture and I'll continue with that. It says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. The same scripture can be used for so many other things. I mean, we have the hope of Christ in us. But we also do it in gentleness and respect. Be kind. You've got maybe a person that is having a hard time. Say the teller at the shop, at Checkers or whatever. You've had a hard time that day. And you're not listening to any nonsense, and then suddenly this teller machine doesn't want to take your credit card. The bank says it's declined. Meantime, there's an error. It gives you no right to tell this person off. Or tell them, listen, man, get your act together. And you hoy a couple of words in it because you're now really tired. You don't know what they're going through. At that time, they might be just at the edge. And what you say, they go home and do something stupid. I don't want to be that person. And it takes nothing for us just to go and say, you know what, put, don't stress. Redo it again. Do that card transaction again. Or I've got cash, let me rather pay in cash. People are going through enough stresses these days, especially these days, through whatever they are facing. Being kind is the best thing you can do. Just to take it on, lacquer, don't stress about it. You would be amazed how much more of a relief you cause that person, but also how that opens up doors to friendship. And just the next time I see that person, this is the teller speaking, man, I would, that'll be so lacquer. I know that person's going to bite my head off. Just be that person that is not the grumpy old bear. You know, we might look like that with some of us with our facial hair, but we are not. You are human. Does Jesus come to you and tell you, listen, David, because you did that thing wrong, I'm going to condemn you to hell. Flah. One fault and you're out of here, bro. Oh, let's start with 3 strikes and you're out. No, he doesn't. 70 times 7. And that was just figuratively. It's not even real. That's like 70 times 7. You cannot outdo Jesus. He forgives you every time. So who are we to strip our proverbial dingers when we go into the shop and give the person gas? We don't have that right. We just need to follow what Jesus did. That saying, what would Jesus do, comes back into my mind constantly. As corny as it might think, and I mean, this was like an 80s thing. We wore the bands, everything. But it rings true. What would my Lord and Savior do in this situation? Let's move on. I'm getting stuck in there. The next one is a gospel of peace. What does it mean? Let's break the words down. I mentioned it earlier. Gospel, and this is the Latin, and again, I'm not going to pronounce it right, but you can read it there, Evangelion, which means good news, and you can see where this is going. Peace. And this is not Irene and Pretoria, that's what it is, but it sounds like it to me, which means peace and also wholeness, completeness. The Hebrew word, as we all know, for peace is shalom. So where are we going with this? There we go. Gospel of peace is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. This is the whole gospel of peace, salvation. We carry that peace in us. We carry the good news to people that are out there looking for the proverbial lantern, the proverbial light, want to hear this good news, because this world is what? Can be as corrupt as it comes. This world is sliding down the hill, so to speak. If you look at the news these days, everything is demagogue. It is confusing. You have got, Lord knows how many genders these days. We know there's only two, a man and woman. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science, but because of the world and their definitions and their rebellion against the word of God, the acceptance of what Satan brings into this world, you get this confusion. But confusion aside, we bring the peace of God as Christians. We bring hope. We bring light into the world through the one that lives in us. A good scripture, Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to die for me and you, and through that we can approach the throne room of God. Through that we have God's presence within each and every one of us. Through that we can avert those fiery arrows that the enemy throws at us. Through that we can avert the division and the destruction the enemy has for me and for you. And believe it, he wants to take us out. That little target in your back, not for darts. He wants to throw something much bigger and take you out and create division and enmity between you, I, and God. That's his target. That's his goal. He doesn't want you in a good place. He doesn't want you to experience eternal life. He wants you to be confused, as you can see this world is. He wants you to hate God. That's his primary goal. But we have so much more in God that makes it such a challenge for him that he brings us on quite regularly with challenges that we overcome easily. Well, not easily. It can be easy. So how do we use the shoes of the gospel of peace? We walk a great distance. Sounds funny, but it is not. Once you become a Christian, as I mentioned, you get that little target on your back, but also it's a long road. You start, and my proverbial passion is hiking. You start your hike at the day you give your heart to Jesus. You end your hike when you meet him. And that hike has got some interesting ups and downs. You're going to have all kinds of challenges laying before you. But we can say that the peace we have, or our Prince of Peace, as we can see in Isaiah 41, that speaks about the Prince of Peace, we'll be comforted by our Prince of Peace. We can say his yoke is easy and burden is light, as it says in Scripture, Matthew 11:30, because he will carry us through everything that we face. Again, one of the things that come up to mind immediately is when it's an analogy or a little story about this person walking. It's called footsteps, I think, actually. Footsteps in the sand. Next to the shore, this person walks, and they only see one set of footprints. And Jesus speaks to them. Or they speak to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't see you next to me. I only see my own footsteps going through life. And Jesus replies and says, that's not your footsteps. That is mine. And I'm carrying you. Another point of how do we use these shoes is advance without hesitation. Overcoming our fears. The enemy wants you to be and live in fear. Be fearful and live in fear. Because if he does that, he's got you. Similar with the army. If you divide the army, they will be overcome with whatever anxieties. You know, if you are split away, if you look at a family unit, mom, dad, children, you split the children away from the parents, what do you get? You get some kids that will be very unsure of themselves suddenly because they have not gone through life. Mom and dad is therefore for them to help them through life up to a point, and then they go their merry way. So if the enemy can fill you with fear, he's already won the battle and you've basically lost it. Unless you have, as I say, being available for your brother and your sister that can uplift you, walk with you. And we walk together. Made the comment to hold the line, unity. As a commander shouts, hold the line the whole time. That is being in unity with one another. Hello, I'm here. Who's the bells? What is heaven ringing, yeah? Nonetheless, it's holding or towing that line, being in formation. And that holding the line is not just for the church, this family, yeah, for yourself, in your workplace, head of the home, family, friends, holding the line together, being in unity with one another, being at peace with one another. Yes, we do rub each other up the wrong way sometimes. Excuse me, sometimes that person would chirp me and I will go, and get like a little iffy about it. And that's nothing wrong with it. We are not perfect. And by no means are we compatible with one another. We are different. But for unity's sake, we overcome our differences. We can sort out our differences. And we carry on corporately as well as privately. And then, as I end today, and I'm thank you for this time that we had to talk about these things. But I want to ask you, firstly, let's make a statement that if we don't sit with a gospel of peace, of salvation, if we haven't made a commitment to Jesus, then the ride is not that easy. And I'm not saying the ride on the other side is easier, but I would far more be in a right place and be in eternity than the alternate option, and that is hell. I'll be plain and blunt as I could be. This is not, hell is a real place. Not some airy, fairy, scary story that your dad told you to get you to go to church. It is real. It's there. Amen. It is very real. But I would be in right standing with God rather than anything else. My feet need to be right. Balanced, dug in, ready to advance the kingdom of God. That's where I want to be. If you don't find yourself in that place, life is a little bit more interesting, and I'm playing it down there. Your armor, I mean, without being saved, the armor of God doesn't mean much for any person. Because you're not saved. You're not in peace with God. You're not one with God. Similarly, if you look at Daniel 2, Daniel had this vision of this huge statue. It was made of gold, bronze, and silver, iron, and clay was the feet. So it was broken down. And that represented different things. But the point being here, if I took a ball and rolled it at the feet of that big, huge, massive statue, like that, it will come tumbling down. Iron and clay, not a good base, not a good mix. So if we sit now and we talk about the gospel of peace, get your footing right. Make it fixed, sure. Advance the kingdom of God to what God is calling you. Do His will. And if you're not at that place where you find and say, God, I don't know what the salvation thing is about. And I would urge you with as much as my voice can do is make right with God. Today, not next year, or the next opportunity, or just before I die, God, I will quickly throw up a prayer. No. Do it today and live a fulfilled life in Christ. Can I ask you to bow your heads? Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have this opportunity to learn of your word, Father, the gospel of peace, the shoes of readiness, Father God. Lord, I thank you that we understand it, Father. We know the consequences of not being in line with you, Father, not being in a good place, Father, that we are saved, Father God. And for those people here, Father, I pray, if you are a person that is what we call backslided, you were a Christian and you're not anymore, or you don't even know if you have a relationship with God, I'm going to ask you to, with our eyes closed, raise your hand. I'm not going to bite you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to have a time where you can make right with God, and that you also can advance the kingdom, that you also can have peace in a time when there's heaviness or a time that is challenging. Put your hand up. I'm not going to beg. It's between you and God. Thank you. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you do for us, Father. For everything that you are, Lord Jesus. Put your hand down again. Father, and we ask you that as we go out this week, Lord, that you will go ahead of us, Father. Holy Spirit, that you will make our place a place that we can advance in. Our place being our workplace, our house. Whatever it is, Father, that the peace that we carry will be permeating into all areas of our lives, Father God. That we can represent you, Father, with everything that we have, Lord Jesus. May you protect us and may you guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.